You're listening to The Aaron Carrera Show. And now your host, Aaron Carrera.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, it's me, your host, Aaron Carrera. You're listening to The Aaron Carrera Show, so it works out pretty well that way. And if you're listening live, it is Thursday, May 30th, 10:01 a.m. Pacific time. And I'm very happy to be here with you all today. If you are listening in the archives, welcome. I'm happy that you're listening. It's wonderful to have you wherever you are, whatever day, whatever time it is. I'm very thrilled to be with you. So thank you for listening. And since it's Thursday, May 30th, 2024, we are going to be talking about a number of different things. First of all, the energy of the day or of the moment. I shouldn't say of the day. So if you're listening in the archives, just know that we're going to be talking a little bit about the energy of Thursday, May 30th, 2024. And since Monday of this week, and sort of coming into the weekend as we head into June is busting out all over, as the musical theater goes. Anyhow, and then we're going to be talking a little bit about energy and our bodies, and a little bit about self-image and bodies. And this is not just about, although it's going to be a little bit about beauty, it's not really just about beauty. It's also going to be about energy and health and age and capability and belief and dreams, right? I say this because I've had a lot of people lately say, well, you know, I want to do A, B, and C, but my body isn't A, B, and C. And while I understand when people are going through, for example, you know, chronic illness or autoimmune conditions, it does make it harder sometimes to do certain things. But I also want to talk about our bodies and our self-image and how to work with our bodies and self-image so that we can have more of the life we want. And so that sometimes we can also just say, you know what? Like, pardon my language, this is going to be a sweary show, I can tell. Fuck it. You know, like, this is my one precious life. And even if there's past and future lives, this is my one precious time in this life. And depending on where I'm at, I got some time left to live. I want to do something with that. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about climbing Mount Everest. It might just be about having a life you enjoy and love. And I think that's wonderful. So that's what we're going to be talking about. Everybody, let's take a nice, long, slow, deep breath in. And let it all go with a noise. I want you to just shake your legs if you are able. Shake your legs, shake your feet, shake your toes, shake your booty. I'm sitting in my chair and I'm still shaking my booty. Shake your torso. You know, give me a little shimmy shimmy on your chest. Shake out your left arm and your left hand and fingers, and your right arm and your right hand and fingers. And I'm not going to shake my neck fast because I have neck injuries, but I'm going to just slowly roll my head from one side to the other. And I'm going to do a little head roll down and around to the left, and then down and around to the right. I'm going to take another nice, long, slow, deep breath in and let it out with a flutter of the lips. And let's do one more of those, and we're going to let it out with a long sigh, like a singer's sigh. Ready? Like, take a nice, long, slow, deep breath in. Did you hear me go through the break? Let's do it one more time just for my singer ego. So we're going to take a nice, long, slow, deep breath in and let it out from with a long, high note down. Right? Now, it doesn't matter if you're a singer or if you did it wrong, you did it right. The point is to release energy. Do you already feel a little bit more energized? Do you already feel a little more sparked alive, a little more sparked alive, a little more sparked alive, right? When I do that, you want to know what I'm doing? I'm saying sparked, and I'm clapping the back of my right hand to the palm of my left wrist, and then I'm saying alive with a snap. Spark alive, spark alive. See, all of these things actually work, right? Clapping and snapping and moving your body. Even if you aren't able to move every part of your body, even if you're missing parts of your body, you can still move even internally. You can move, like right now, here's another thing you can do to sort of feel alive, to feel grounded. Think, I want you to put, if you're able, put your hands on your lower belly, underneath your belly button. For some of us, it's a little soft there. That might be for very important reasons. It maybe should be soft there for some of us. For some of us, it won't be. I myself, being a lifelong singer, it's soft and then like strong as fuck because you use those lower abdominal muscles when you're singing. You use them when you're laughing, when you are stopping yourself from urinating, when you're pooping, when you're giving birth, when you are, right? You use them during sex, probably. Depending, I guess it depends on the variety of sex you're having, right? But put your fingers right on that lower abdomen area. And I want you to just, not with your fingers, but with the muscles underneath your fingers, pull in. Almost as if, like, if, when you have to go to the bathroom, when you have to pee, and you stop yourself from peeing. And I want you to see if you can feel those lower abdominal muscles activating when you touch them, and then you focus on sucking in, right? Not sucking in to be thin, but like pulling the muscles in to activate that muscle tissue. Now, why am I having you do that? It's because it will activate your creative chakra, because it will help you feel alive, sparked alive, sparked alive, right? Take another nice, long, slow, deep breath in and let it go. So, a wee bit of business, even though I already started the show. Wow, I went from Aaron, spacey, floaty, exhausted, don't know what the fuck's going on here, to grounded in my body, Aaron. And I can easily vacillate from one to the other. Like, if I wanted to, I could go right back into floaty Aaron. She's hanging out right around my heart, right? Where I'm going to guide you all through this. Real quick, if you like what you're listening to, come find me on 12listen.com/Aaron. That's Aaron with an E. Okay, business done. Let's go back into the show. Okay, so I can feel that floaty Aaron wants to leave my body and hang out just right outside my body. And right now that's kind of okay because I'm in my studio. I'm doing a psychic radio show. Take a deep breath in and out. But I also wonder if it isn't because there's something in my heart that something in the energy of this day, something in my heart that is kind of overwhelming, like a giant wave crashing to the shore, that I kind of don't necessarily either want to deal with or feel that I have time to deal with, right? So I'm going to ask you if you're able, just for a moment, to check in with yourself. How do you feel in regards to, are you in your body? Are you present in your body? Do you feel like you're floating just outside of your body? And you take a deep breath in. And you just, it's a little hard sometimes to breathe all the way in, right? When you take a deep breath in and you focus on, imagine you're breathing into that lower abdomen. See, that grounds me. And I imagine now, take a deep breath in, imagining that you could imagine that you breathe into your booty, right? You breathe right into that root chakra. Just imagine that's where you breathe in and out of. That grounds me. But now I want you to go ahead and just play with me for a minute here. See if you can put your left hand over your heart and your right hand over your left hand. Oh, my heart is beating strong and steady, not fast, but it's like thump. See if you can feel your heartbeat. Take a deep breath in. Just see if you can feel that heartbeat. It's okay if you can, and it's okay if you can't. Sometimes I might take my fingers and press against that heart area. And when I do, it's a little sore. And I get emotional. So there's something up, friends. We're going to look at the energy astrologically to figure out what's going on in the cosmos. But definitely there's something up. I think a lot of us are literally heart sore. Now I know I'm using myself as the microcosm to the macrocosm, but I ask for my body to be a channel for all of the listeners and anyone that I might be of service to. And when I do that, I feel exhausted and heart sore and tired and worried. Aaron, I'm not the biggest worrier. I do worry, of course. But I like when I start to worry, I actually have trained myself to just not think about those things. If I need to worry about something like financially, if I need to make some changes in how I'm spending or how I'm saving or what the money I'm earning, then I like to do that consciously. I don't like to freak myself out, even though I was well trained from childhood, to freak out about money. Certainly it's a, I don't know that I can call it a family trait, but certainly it's a family indoctrination. But it's also for me a neurological pattern and a habit, not a truth, right? But when I feel into my heart, I feel we're all very heart sore. A lot of it is what's going on in the world, right? What's going on in the Middle East? What's going on in our country, in the US, if you're from the US? What's going on in wherever you live? What's going on with the news that is, we are like, there's an onslaught of news every day that is all worrisome, troublesome, and hard to ignore, even if you are not following the news, right? It's sort of like how I've never seen an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. That's a lie. I saw like 5 minutes once, the tail end of an episode where they were all sitting by the pool recounting what had happened to them. And I was like, no offense if you love it, but I was like, this is so boring. I can't. But even though I've never seen an episode, I think I know all their names. Kim, Chloe, Gigi? No, that's Gigi Hadid. Who's Kylie? Kylie, right? See, I'll start thinking of them, right? I'll start thinking one of them is married to a guy named Travis. One of them divorced Kanye, right? I'll start getting there. Chris is the mom. Caitlyn's the step parent, right? So I don't know if they're still together. I don't think they are, right? Like I know all this stuff. Why? I've never even seen an episode. So there's this stuff that's it gets into our consciousness if you are, around. So I feel a lot of us are very heart sore. Now, when we look at the astrology today, 30th of May, suns in Gemini, moons in Pisces, Mercury in Taurus, Venus in Gemini, Mars in Aries, Jupiter in Gemini, Saturn in Pisces, Uranus in Taurus, Neptune in Pisces, Pluto in Aquarius, True Node in Chiron in Aries. Okay, so I just listed it all off. What does that mean, Aaron? Well, we've got plenty of Gemini in strong positions that's got us all in our heads, right? Gemini is fun. Gemini is curious. Gemini wants to chat and get to know you and network and go to the party and get to know everybody and talk about stuff, interesting stuff, right? That's Gemini. But Gemini also can overthink and think about everything and get distracted by too many thoughts and distract us with their many, many interesting thoughts, right? We can while away more than an hour just chatting, chatting, chatting. But then we've got, oh, the moon and Neptune and Saturn all in Pisces. And so we are in all of these feels and illusions and rose-colored glasses and then disillusions and maybe a little bit of depression and maybe some of it is wallowing and some of it is just straight up fucking depression and some of it is confusing and some of it is like also alluring, like you kind of want the confusion and some of it is just like, it's like when you listen to a sad 1970s sort of broken-hearted song like I'm going back someday, come what may, to Blue Bayou, right? Or even better, drowning in the sea of love where everyone would love to be, right? That's Sarah by Fleetwood Mac. Oh, pick any Fleetwood Mac song, basically, right? Any of the sad ones, right? Well, there you go again, you say you want your freedom. Well, who am I to keep you down? All of that kind of song. Taylor Swift, right, is probably a good one for right about now. All of these like kind of moody songs that melodically don't resolve, that leave you feeling a little suspended. All of that kind of 1970s stuff. All of that Sarah. Oh, I just saw Sarah McLachlan on Sunday, by the way, and I was up in Seattle visiting my one of my best girlfriends. And we went to go hear Sarah McLachlan. It's the 30th anniversary of the Fumbling Towards Ecstasy tour. Perfect album for this energy. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the astrology, but I want to that it actually is. So for me, that album is very important because I didn't really get into it the year it came out, which was 94, but a few years later, when I was sent to the hospital for my eating disorder when I was young, and my friend, one of my dear friends at the time, was a DJ at the college radio station, and he played Hold On from Fumbling Towards Ecstasy and dedicated it towards me and to me, and then played the whole album dedicated to me, hoping that I would get better and, all of that. So then I listened to that album sort of non-stop all through that next year of very hard times for me. Very hard times of eating disorders, depression, wanting to kill myself, rolled my car, had more than one car accident, very depressed, terrible decisions with boys and boyfriends and sex. And that album accompanied me the whole time, to the point where I ended up getting a little bit sick of it. I OD'd on it. And then I listened to it again a few years after that, I would say around 2001, where I was stronger and I had defied a few of the odds and I had defied some of the bad relationships, but I was still young and pretty moody and crazy and not really well per se, just stronger and wilder. And it meant something. And I was also having my own songwriter career. I was recording an album of my own. I was putting together a band. I was about to start touring. And I loved that album. And it was the soundtrack again, a little bit alongside a healthy dose of Ani DiFranco and Bjork and Tori Amos. Anyhow, it was the Lilith Fair years, kids. So, and then I was done with Sarah. I loved Sarah, but I couldn't listen to her anymore. So, like, a lot of people got really into her because of Arms of an Angel or Sweet Surrender, but I was like, nah, I was just sort of like, kind of moved on by then. Not because of Sarah, but because of me, right? I had OD'd by listening to Fumbling Towards Ecstasy nonstop. But I remember back then, that was back when we still loved albums. I mean, I'm grateful that someone like Taylor Swift is bringing albums back and you want to just sit and listen to an entire album. That, I know it's not just her Beyonce, right? Beyonce's recent country album or Beyonce's Lemonade. Like, if these become events. And I wish that was true for even more artists, that it didn't have to be just singles. But I also understand the financial model just isn't what it used to be either. So, anyhow, Fumbling Towards Ecstasy, I always thought was a perfect album. Well, I got to tell you, I listened to it once in preparation to go to the concert because I haven't heard Sarah in years. And she played a few of her hits from other albums. And then the second half of the concert was Fumbling Towards Ecstasy from beginning to end. And then her encore was a new song and then Angel. And I have to tell you, as soon as that. Sorry, I'm gonna cry. As soon as Fumbling Towards Ecstasy, as soon as she started, as once she started singing, I was so excited. We were all dancing and everything. But once she started singing Possession, I just lost it. I lost my shit. I couldn't stop myself from weeping. My friend who was with me gave me a big old hug, and she kind of cried a little too, because she's very empathetic. So if somebody is crying, then she starts crying. I was like, I'm gonna try not to cry. She's like, it's okay. Like the guy next to me, he was super stoned. He was smoking weed the whole time, which is hard for me to smell because I have an allergy to THC, so I get nauseated. So I kept like think I was like, should I say, dude, I'm allergic? And then I was like, nah, it's fine. I'll be okay. But he kept looking at me like, what is wrong with you? I was losing. I didn't care. I don't care. I no longer give a shit about what some random dude at a concert in Seattle, Washington thinks of me, you know? But I also didn't want to go over the top and become a drama queen either, but I just cried. I cried partially because the music was so amazing. It's so beautiful. It still is, I believe, it still resonates. It sounds like it could have been made today, except that it's a little more complex than most music that comes today. I'm not slamming music today. Music is cha pop music has changed greatly. It is less melodic. They have proven that scientifically. It is less melodic, less lyrical, but way more rhythm. There's way more interesting things happening with rhythm. And so there's a lot more like sort of simple hooks and simple little catchphrases, very hooky, very hooky, but then a lot more rhythm. And that's just how pop music has changed. It's just a different expression of pop music. Whereas something like Fumbling Towards Ecstasy has a lot of like the emotional pathos that somebody like Taylor Swift brings, or even in terms of, because it's got a lot more melodic shift, because Sarah goes from, Sarah does like those octave shifts, and then she'll sing very high in that beautiful pop soprano with all that little dust on it, like Olivia Rodrigo does, right? Now, I know Olivia Rodrigo's more of a rocker in a way, or she's got a little rock to her, but she does a lot of that sort of like octave jumping that a lot of other singers don't do. Tell me if I'm wrong. Anyway, because there might be somebody I'm missing. But, or like, I love like Chappell Roan. She's so good. And she's got a voice that's a little more reminiscent of some of those Lilith Fair performers. But, it's not that she's copying, it's just a new expression of that kind of songwriter. But I feel like Fumbling Towards Ecstasy, the songs, the lyrics, what she's talking about still resonate today. So Possession, which is about the stalker. So you all know about my stalker. So, I have a very different relationship to that song, and as well as to the stalker now that I did even a year ago. And then, for example, she talked about one of the songs which she dedicated to a friend of hers that she had lost for a minute because she fell in love with the friend's ex-boyfriend, and then she ended up becoming very close friends with that friend again and reuniting. And of course, that has meaning to me. And then she talked about Hold On, and she talked about all the different meanings when she wrote the songs. And some of that I didn't know, and it was interesting because then it had a different meaning for me as well, So, but all of these memories that flooded back, but that had a different meaning for me today. I was a little surprised because some of the things I was surprised I could still be triggered by. Now, I went on this long, 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 long tangent because that is the energy today. The energy today is a little bit like we've healed a lot of the energy of the past. We've healed a little bit of some of our old triggers, or we've at least grown and integrated, like some of the energy just, it's still there. Some of the old sadness is there, or for example, the doorway is still there. The pathway is still there, but we've healed and it means something different to us. But it doesn't mean that we don't still have emotion or sadness or worry or fear. It means that we have learned and we have a slightly different relationship to it. So that is partially, that's partially, right? Saturn in Pisces, right? That's partially what's going on here, partially. And then we've got some other interesting things, like we've got Mercury and Uranus in Taurus. And so the way that we're going to be expressing and changing is largely going to be through our body systems, right? Taurus is very sensual. Taurus is very experiential through the body. Taurus, so if you're expressing and changing through Taurus, you're doing it through, yes, beautiful and not always beautiful bodily experiences, sensual experiences. You might be expressing things through food, through flowers, through gifts, through deals, through coupons. Oh, I got you a coupon, right? Oh, honey, here, I've got you a, like, that's, I have a person in my life who's got a lot of Taurus in them, and they often are giving me like coupons for, oh, honey, here, I got you a 2-for-1 deal, right? Here, I thought you might like this coupon. I'm like, thank you. I know that that is love to them, right? So the way that we're experiencing a lot of this is all over the place because we got Gemini all over the place. We got Pisces a little all over the place on the emotions, but then we want to be solid and grounded. So our bodies are trying to get us grounded, trying to like ground us in the experience. And we just don't know if we are really ready for that between that Gemini and that Pisces energy. You hear? So there's other stuff going on too with Aries. There's a lot going on in Aries. So then there's also this feeling like we should be making the change. Like we should be doing the things. We should be heading in a direction. We should be having success. We should be having whatever that Aries means to us. So it's just that there's a lot of powerful ideas. So then that brings me to our bodies. Because I'm going to say, not at the end of the day, but sort of throughout the day, we are spiritual beings having a bodily experience, right? And we may not be able to always understand what our experience is teaching us, showing us, or trying to tell us. And a lot of times we want to understand in the language we speak, in the language we verbalize in, right? Not just speak, like I speak music. So sometimes music is, for me, a far easier way to express things, right? Like it's e like if that's why I sing all the time on the show, right? It's easier for me to say, you know what the energy of the moment is? There are two of us talking in circles and one of us. I don't remember how it goes. Let's try a different song, right? But it's like they're like, and I will be the one to hold you down, right? I gotta do a song I know really well as a singer, not as a listener, because I don't. It's funny, right? You would think that as a singer, I could sing back any song, but I songs that I don't care about, I can sing anytime. Songs that I care about, like every time I hear Hold On, even thinking about it, right? You hear me, I'm gonna cry. But that's not the only song that like has deep meaning to me. There's this song by Tori Amos called Etienne. When I hear that song, I lose it. When I hear this opera aria from Madame Butterfly, Un Bel Dì, I mean, just thinking about it, I lose it. So those are songs that are hard for me to sing. So even though somebody once requested me to sing, actually people have requested me to sing a few of those, I sort of say, oh, how about a different Puccini aria? Because there are other arias that I can do fine. Which is interesting because whatever's happening in singing is what's happening in life anyhow. But music is sometimes a far easier way to verbalize or express or experience what's happening, especially if you love dancing, if you love to move your body. Now, of course, it's important to put things in our language that we speak and verbalize, whether that's through writing or speaking or sharing with another person, because that is partially how we learn. But I want to talk about ways that we can use our bodies and our experience in our bodies to heal and use the energy of the moment to heal. And maybe that is to heal ourselves. Maybe that is to acknowledge trauma or grief or hard things we've gone through. Maybe that is to move ourselves out, right? Remember, spark alive, spark alive. So maybe that is to move ourselves out of stinking thinking and into something a little more joyful. Maybe that's just to shake the energy up. Remember when I had Eva Delucious, the burlesque star and teacher, on, and she taught us how to shimmy away the shit, right? So number one, I'm going to start with some basics, which is self-care, right? Self-care, especially when you're going through hard times. Now, self-care might look like a massage or a manicure or a pedicure, or maybe you might be like, you know, I spent a lot of money this month on my sorry about the trash guy outside. They moved my trash day to Thursdays. So if you hear that, that's what that is. But maybe you're like, you know, I had to pay for a car repair and a trip home to see my family and an unexpected medical bill this month. I'm just speaking for a friend. So I just don't want to prioritize money that I would put into savings into getting my nails done. So instead, I'm going to do a little self-care doing my nails at home. Right. And then the self-care is also self-financial care. And then I'm going to shimmy away the shit, Aaron. I'm going to like turn on some music that I love and I'm just going to shake my booty and shake off some of that other energy of feeling like, well, my nails don't look as nice as when I go get them done, but they're fine. And I'm going to find other ways to care for myself. Right? Self-care is so many things. Self-care might be calling a friend. Self-care might be calling a friend. I was so fortunate this weekend to go visit one of my friends that I can be myself with totally. Honestly, that's pretty much in general most of my life now. I really seek to totally be myself. But you know, there are times where you are being of service and there's a little bit of a or you are being with family that you maybe have to kind of perform with a little bit with that family, or you are with a boss where it's a little bit performative. You can't just flop on the couch with your boss, right? But I was with my friend that we could just flop on the couch and watch a season of Blown Away, which is this amazing, if you've never seen it, it is an amazing show. Speaking of Taurus, and expressing yourself through art and beauty, it is an amazing show about glass blowing artists. It's a competition show, and the things they create are amazing. But you know, like maybe self-care looks like you calling that person that in your life you can just flop onto a sofa and you can talk or not talk and just be with, right? Just be. Sometimes self-care is just being by yourself and saying, just being. Sometimes self-care might look like boundaries. It might be saying no, right? Saying no, that's a big one for a lot of people. It might be, for some people, it might be saying yes. Like you got too used to never going out, right? You got almost too used to not being with friends. And I'll tell you, there's that saying, you know, if you want to have a friend, you got to be a friend. You know, if you don't make time for friends, then you won't have some after a certain point. But I mean, because having a friend does take a little effort, right? Not to be contradictory to what I just said, but to add to, if you always never go to see your friends, at a certain point, then that person will get the hint, right? Okay, so the number two thing I wanted to talk about is challenging your own thinking. Not just the neg like the negative thinking, yes, because that's where we get ourselves into trouble, right? So I found myself this week, I was walking home from Target, of all things, and I was just scowling, and I was like, I noticed my face. At one point, I noticed my face scowling. I was like, whoa, why am I scowling? What's up with that? And I caught myself scowling and I caught myself thinking all these negative Nelly thoughts. Right now in this moment, I don't even remember what the thoughts were. I don't. But sometimes our thoughts will just run away with us, right? Right? Like that old nursery rhyme about running away with a spoon. Our thoughts will run away with us. And especially maybe during Gemini time, you know, I'm just saying. Sometimes that this might be a time of year where our thoughts might run away with us. And those might be thoughts that are negative. They might be thoughts that are fantasy, right? Where we get ourselves into trouble. And how do we get ourselves into trouble with fantasy? Well, when we convince ourselves that the person that we are in an unrequited love relationship with is going to come around this weekend. Look, if they're going to come around this weekend, you sitting here and ruminating about that and thinking about that, it's going to happen whether or not you think about that, right? I know we might be trying to manifest it, but hear me out on this. If you are living in fantasy, that means you are not living in a foundation based on something you feel or know or have faith in to be true, which means you are going to be manifesting more of what the fantasy represents. And the fantasy is a part of the brain that is imagining things. And that's not always bad, right? It's fun to imagine. That's how inventors work and creators work. But you want to be using it on purpose, right? You want to be using it on purpose. It's okay to be hopeful. It's okay to get your hopes up because every feeling's acceptable. So even if you get your hopes up and they're dashed later, that's okay. That's normal. That's human. It's not bad. You're not a bad person if things don't work out the way you wanted them to. But if you start believing in a fantasy you might start losing touch with reality, that becomes even more painful. So another way that thinking or fantasy can get in the way is if you start thinking, oh, this, I see this a lot in Los Angeles, right? Where somebody fantasizes about the certain kind of career they're supposed to have, and they lie to themselves about things like their age and the kind of acting roles they should do at their age. And then they either wake up one day and realize that it's sad what they've been doing, right? Think about that movie Sunset Boulevard, right? Or that, like, I know a number of actors who end up having drug problems or committing suicide, right? Because they wake up and they're 40 and they think they're too old. Now, they are not. There are acting roles for all ages. The danger is if you think you are 40, you're supposed to be playing a teenager, right? And I've met people. I met a woman who was probably 70, and she had trouble, I think, with her vision because her makeup was always slightly off. You know, like she looked, I don't want to be mean about this woman. I feel badly. She looked a little bit like whatever happened to Baby Jane, right? But she wanted to act in roles for 20-year-olds. Now, if she could have said, hey, I am a sexy, fabulous 70-year-old or 65 or 70 to play 58, great. Then you can start playing like the kind of role that you're really suited for. But she was living in an idea of who she was supposed to be that everybody in the world could see she was not. So she was setting herself up for failure, right? Well, this happens to a lot of us. We have an idea of the way the world is supposed to be. And then when the world does not prove that to us, right? When we get triggered, right? When a partner says something that's like the opposite of what we thought they were thinking, we get angry at them. We get angry at the world. And I'm asking, saying, what if we challenge ourselves? What if it was okay to be a 72-year-old actor and it was okay to look for roles that made sense at that age? What if it was actually awesome and wonderful? And if the roles weren't big enough, you could learn to write a one-woman show or write a play or write your own short film and do it for yourself then. If you want to write a rom-com about a 70-year-old, and there's plenty of those, right? Remember the Magnolia Hotel, right? Just the first one that comes to mind. But there's plenty of fun things for all. Like I'm harping on that because it's a bit of an extreme example. But even for, I'm thinking about this woman I know who was 40 and she committed suicide because she wasn't famous. She wasn't a famous movie star. So she decided there was no point to living at age 40. And I highly disagree. What if something wonderful had just been around the corner for her? What if it was okay to be an artist and not famous? What if it was all okay? What if it was okay one way or the other? What if she was going to be like Estelle Getty, who played Sophia on Golden Girls? She got her big break at 62. Well, actually, we could argue in her 50s because she was off-Broadway with Harvey Fierstein for Torch Song Trilogy in her 50s. And that's what got her on Broadway because Harvey Fierstein fought for her to get the Broadway role. And then because of that, she got offered the role in Golden Girls. But, or the audition, and then she booked it. I forget how it rolled out exactly. But it's like, you know, that was a lady who spent her life working as an accountant. She was a mom. She did a lot of, Borscht Belt theater, community theater, summer stock theater, and then got her big break, you know, late middle age. Isn't that cool? It's cool. So rather than live in the fantasy of who you think you're supposed to be, what if you allowed yourself to say, okay, who am I really? And what is the world really? And how can I work with that? And this brings me to the body. So for example, right now, somebody in my life is working out nonstop, like 2-3 hours a day. I'll tell you, it's my husband. He wants to get his He's like always been a bodybuilder and a workout fiend, but he wants to get his body fat down to a certain place because he's got a role in a movie that he wants to get into a certain kind of shape for. And he's also training for his soccer league, right? Because he plays soccer and he got an injury. And so he's been training for soccer and then he just got really back into bodybuilding. And I'm inspired by that. But he has what I might call an athlete's vision for himself, an athlete's vision for his body, an athlete's vision for how he's going to work with his body. He sleeps really well. He drinks a lot of water. He never drinks alcohol. He doesn't eat junk food. He's very disciplined in all of these things. And he happens to live with a woman, aka me, who has history of terrible eating disorders. So that for me, if I were to become that disciplined because of the neurology at this moment in my life, that could be very triggering for me, right? So it's not that I can't eat well or work out. I do. I enjoy all of that. Or that maybe I could say, yeah, maybe I'm gonna not drink for a while because I don't really care that much. I lately have been drinking a lot of wine because it's been fun, but I could also be like, no, it's good, it's fine. Because it's like I don't have any energy around that, right? But if I were to say to myself, okay, Erin, we're gonna count our calories, we're gonna weigh ourselves daily, we're gonna check our body fat percentage daily, I'm not in a position where I'm okay with that. Now, this is a very broad, easy example for me to use, but it doesn't mean that I can't work out, that I can't do the workout that I love, that I can't find other ways to work with myself. Other ways to work with my body in a way that's healthy for my mental health and healthy for my body, right? It doesn't mean throw the baby out with the bathwater. I can find what works for me. So that if somebody were to tell me like I have someone I've been working with who I know won't mind me sharing this little bit of the story, their metabolism is super fucked up. No matter what they've tried because of the chronic dieting in their life, now their body just holds on, holds on. And they've literally tried so many different things. And they've had people say, no, it's science. If you eat like somebody in a concentration camp, then you will be thin like somebody in a concentration camp. I know that's a very sick example, but that's literally what somebody said to them. And it is actually not true because of the way her metabolism works and because of the way we are, because of the prevalence and availability of food, right? So there's a neurological pattern to it. So rather than deepen into an eating disorder, this person is choosing to work out and be fit at whatever weight and size her body is. And that took a lot of self-acceptance because she wanted to look different, but it just wasn't working for her. And so instead, she's focusing on challenging the idea that her body is supposed to look a specific way for her to be successful or beautiful or happy. And instead, she's focusing on, can I work with and accept, even if I can't always love everything about my body, can I work with and accept? Can I challenge the idea that my body's supposed to look a certain way? Because there are plenty of cultures around the world that actually would love this particular body I have. For different reasons, right? Because I'm strong, because I have what some cultures call a little just normal, right? She's actually just pretty normal, if I'm honest with you. But she doesn't see herself that way, but she is. What if somebody, I think about another friend I know who is in a wheelchair and who dances and works out. Right? It's like just because this person is in a wheelchair doesn't mean they don't like fitness or dancing. Not everybody in a wheelchair can do this, but this person does these amazing dance shows where they do wheelchair dancing, and it's so amazing. Right? This person loves dance and so decided to challenge for herself and challenge society, or not all of society, but some of society, and say, you know what? Actually, dance is about movement and often with either music or, and I can do that. I can move the wheelchair. She does these amazing things and she'll use these silks, you know, these long silk banners and long silk scarves as part of her dance. And she It's very expressive. It's beautiful. So these are kind of extreme examples in some ways, or actually just everyday examples in other ways. But it's about challenging. Now, how do we use this in the mundane, right? Always, always, always good. I am not suggesting that you lie to yourself and say, "Oh, I'm fine." I know there are people out there who say, "Be careful of the language you say." I think sometimes we need to acknowledge that we're in a certain place, right? So I'm a woman of a certain age. I've been going through some hormonal things, so sometimes, like, I'll just talk about like my cycle, right? When I have PMS, I am exhausted. The first day of my period, I'm exhausted. The second, third day of my period, suddenly I could lift a car. Suddenly I've got crazy strength. It's wild. It's wild. Then at the very end, because of what's going on with me at this point in my life, perimenopause, at the end of the period, suddenly I'm exhausted again. And then it starts amping up again. And then as I start getting close to ovulation, my energy gets higher and higher and higher. And then when I ovulate, I'm exhausted again. It's like this crazy, like, roller coaster, only I've tracked it now for the last couple of years, so I can see it. So, okay, if I know that my body hormonally is going, there are going to be times that I'm liable to have insomnia. There are going to be times that my body is incredibly strong. There are going to be times, right? If I'm paying attention, then I can use that energy, and rather than be like, "Oh my God, I'm so exhausted all the time," it's be like, "My energy is low and I'm tired right now, and a lot of it's hormonal, and I have a lot less tolerance, so I need to be careful about how I speak to my husband so that I don't alienate him or yell at him for no reason, because I'm want to be mindful of how I treat the people that are close to me. I don't want to take anybody for granted. And I need to be aware that maybe my tolerance level is a little low because I'm tired." It's right. We work with what we've got. Work with what we've got. So when the energy is weird out there in the world, like it is right now, we can say, "Well, what is my energy? What is the energy in the world? And what is the experience I would like to have?" Not that I necessarily have that experience, although I may, but that I can orient myself in that direction. I can, okay, so I want to have a nice time with my husband. I want to have a little more energy. So what are the two things I can do? What are things I can do to accomplish those two things? I can be mindful of how I speak to my sweetheart. I can support myself with, maybe some nutritional choices or supplements or taking a nap in the middle of the day. Or I can do the thing they do in Italy. They have an espresso, then they take a 20-minute nap, and then they wake up just as the espresso is kicking in. Now, I don't drink coffee, but I could do that. Sorry, I needed water, right? So it's like when we catch ourselves, can we challenge ourselves? Accept ourselves and others, so that we are working with what we've got rather than against, right? We want to work with what is rather than pretend what is isn't happening or work against it, right? There might be some people who think they can override reality. We can work with reality. When we're manifesting, most of us are working with reality, and the greatest magicians really are working with reality, right? Eventually, if you think you can override reality, reality probably will come to bite you in the ass. It really will. It usually does. If I'm wrong, I would love to meet you. Please call me. Please find me. But the greatest among us really do work with reality. It doesn't mean they don't alchemize or create something amazing. Thinking about, here's a great example. I actually highly recommend everyone go watch Blown Away on Netflix as a spiritual practice, because you're watching people alchemize, take little pieces of broken glass and melt it in hot fire, and then drip it around, and then blow air into it, and create works of beauty out of shards of broken glass. It's an astonishing metaphor for what is possible in life. But these are people working with reality. They are working with the broken pieces. They're not saying, oh, the broken pieces don't exist. They're saying, look at these broken pieces. What can I create of them? How do I do that? Right? So that when I think about going to hear that Sarah McLachlan concert, and I think about everything I've gone through, and I think about the broken pieces of my youth, that sounds so dramatic. Well, I am a Pisces. We got a lot going on there. But it's true. I do have broken pieces in my youth. And I tried to ignore them for a long time. And then came the day where it was either really go crazy and lose touch with reality altogether, or get real and work with what was really happening. And I was lucky to have an insane teacher who was toxic, but who also had some good aspects to her. And she said, hey, wake up. Wake up. You're living in fantasy. And I did. And I looked around and I said, okay, well, this is what I'm working with. How do I pick up these broken pieces? And how do I take these broken pieces of glass and create something amazing out of it? And that's what I've been working on the rest of my life, right? And I'm creating an amazing life. And I still have little pieces of broken glass here and there, right? I still have the history. I still have hurts. Hurt will still happen. People will still die. I'll still get sick. I'll make mistakes. Things won't work out. Things will work out. So if I, there are still areas of my life where I don't accept everything about myself. And those are the areas where I very consciously am trying to do the work, right? Because otherwise I'm just living in fantasy. Otherwise, I'm just ignoring what is, and I'm missing out on something important to my life. We don't always know what that area is. Has that ever happened to you where you get an aha moment about, oh my God, I had no idea. I had no idea, but now I know. Now I know, right? Just like we all thought years ago that we should all eat margarine, and then we learned that for most of us, maybe it should have been butter, right? Or we all thought we were supposed to never eat carbs again. And maybe there are some people who shouldn't eat carbs, but some of us need carbs, right? It's like we all think things and then we all change as we learn and grow. What if you could learn to accept? And I'm not saying have no boundaries, but like let's say there's somebody in your life who's, I guess, frustrating or annoying. It's not that we necessarily stop being annoyed, but that we learn to bear with that person in love. It's not like we have patience for them without love. The goal is to have patience and bear with that person with love, right? When you have a little crying baby, you don't give up. You don't say, fine, fuck you, baby. Go lie down by yourself. I mean, now some people may, and those people are mentally ill, right? Or bad parents. But ideally, what we do is we hold that baby until we figure out why they're crying and solve the problem, or until they just stop crying. We bear with. Well, what if we could bear with ourselves? What if we could bear with a loved one? What if we could bear with somebody who's difficult in our lives until we figure out how to solve that problem? So we don't ignore it. We don't not talk about it. We just do it in a maybe more loving way that's a little more open to the possibilities. And that can be tough because if we're talking about like a coworker, right, where we are like, I can't stand that coworker, but I'm stuck with them. So how do I bear with them and find a way to work with them until I don't have to anymore or until we've solved this problem? And you don't have to tell them, you know, I don't really like you, but I'm bearing with you. You can say, well, I hear you're coming from this point of view. Here's my point of view. Maybe we could take turns speaking and listening until we figure out a solution that works for both of us. I know that takes so much emotional maturity, and we might be dealing with, we do have a world full of people who are emotionally immature right now. Grown-up adults that are like, no, I'm right, right? It's like, well, I'm going to keep working with you unless I can have the boundary that says, fine, go do it yourself then. Come back when you're ready to work with me. I'm happy to work with you. But working with you doesn't mean that it's your way of the highway. It just doesn't, right? So it's very hard to be able to be honest at that level. But also, I know we can do it. Just a couple of other little things before we wrap up the show, because we've come to the end of another episode of the Erin Carrera Show. But I do want to say, see if you can find things to love in your life, right? Especially if we're dealing with things with our bodies, energy that's hard and heavy, ways that we're sad and we don't even know why, exhaustion, chronic illness, autoimmune conditions, negative body image, things that scare us about aging, things about disease, getting sick, all of that. See if in all of this self-acceptance, you could also sometimes just say, you know what? I need to blow off a little steam now, so I'm going to turn on a little music and shimmy away the shit. You know what? I really love the way my fingernails look. You know what? I really love the way that I'm willing to think differently about things. I really love the way I'm willing to try a new perspective, right? See if you can love yourself a little bit more, and maybe another person too, but don't forget about you. All right, friends. If you want to come find me on onetolisten.com/Erin, I will be there this afternoon, and I would love to talk with you. And I will be there this weekend. I am going to be in traveling to visit family next week, but I will still be doing my show, and I will still be available on When to Listen because it is a working family trip. But I love you all. Until next week, bye-bye.